Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. You know the deal. Tonight, interviewing my main man, B.H. of worldofblackheroes.wordpress.com. So, if you're a nerd sci-fi guy like me, you got a little interest, you want to talk some comics, whatnot, a little sci-fi, hey, give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, call-in number, 646-929-2037. And I know some of y'all are shy. You don't have it in you to give me a call, and that's fine. Feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can't call. That you're on a computer listening, you got a question, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. If you just happen to be in the Blog Talk chat room, feel free to post your questions there. Or if you're lucky enough to be watching me at www.livestream.com/sdrama. Once again, that's www.livestream.com/sdrama, you get to see my face that's made for radio. It's too much. I know some of y'all can't handle it, but I'm putting it out there anyway. Also, I'm a sociable guy. So if you're social networking out there, if you're on Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, hit me up on Facebook, tagged in MySpace. I am Dick Hugger. Add me. And if you're on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. Follow me, and I will follow you. And we can just get our social stalking on, you know, socially networking at its finest. Once again, I got my man BH be coming on here in a little while, the World of Black Heroes. Y'all want to check it out. We're going to get international on y'all. Straight out of Jamaica, man. Anyway, we're not going to deal with Jamaica. We're going to start off right here in the United States of America, where it never stops. At this point, it's kind of funny. You think that these fools would let it go, but down in Georgia, State Representative Mark Hatfield of the Hatfields and McCoys. He's got a new bill which will require President Barack Obama to provide certified proof of his birth to the Georgia Secretary of State in order to appear on next year's presidential primary and general election ballot. Oh, my God. It's like, really? They still make y'all? It's like, yo, he president. It's been like 3 years and you want to let that go? He just not going to let it go. He's going to hold on to it. I mean, you really want to ask him, not that you being a Hatfield and maybe you're thinking Obama is secretly a McCoy and that's why you mad at him? I don't know. This is just stupid. How many times he's just going to come up, oh, the birth certificate. Look, why don't you check the hospital records if it's so interesting to you? I'm tired of seeing this. You think that these dudes would just give it up and just Vote against him in the next election. That's your right. That's all you got to do. This whole, oh, we going to get this bill, and we going to make sure that he going to have certified proof. Okay. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Oh, speaking of not so good luck, actually bad luck, is it was an epidemic, and there was a million dead fish that washed up in just south of Los Angeles, Redondo Beach, California, right down the street in California. A million dead fish just washed up out of the blue. Explanation? Oh, they just said it's natural selection. They all swam in the wrong direction and ended up in the corner of the pier that didn't have any oxygen in it. I'm like, a million fish went, all of them went into the wrong place and died. Now, I can believe in, you going to a place where there's no oxygen, but I have a hard time believing that a million fish would do that. And shit, where the hell were the sharks and the seals and all that? I mean, if there's like a million, and this is like overnight, and they say that there was no, there are no chemicals, no oil sheet, no nothing. I mean, if you're in Redondo Beach, are you getting in the water? I'm like, if fish are bred to live in the water, and if a million of them die in this one little area of Redondo Beach, I don't think I'm jumping in ever. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but common sense would tell me that if a million of something that are geared to live in that water die there, it's not for me. But that's just me. And somehow I'm not believing the whole, oh, yeah, there was nothing. It was just natural selection. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of yeah, okay, Kid Rock is being boycotted by the NAACP. Well, NAACP supporters plan to boycott the Detroit NAACP's fundraiser they're having to honor Kid Rock because they say he doesn't mesh with the civil rights group's goals. He supposedly is set to receive the Detroit Branch's Great Expectations Award at their annual dinner. And this is on May 1st. The reason why they're boycotting him, because Kid Rock, he always has the Confederate flag prominent in his shows. And obviously, NAACP supporters are saying, hey, how you going to honor a guy that's flying the Confederate flag? All his shows. Now, in coincidentally, he gave an interview and he said the flag to him represents Southern rock and roll. Now, I mean, we know why they have Kid Rock doing the NAACP. I know why. I mean, obviously they're doing it for ratings, but I'm like, can we just boycott both of them? Can we boycott the NAACP and Kid Rock all at the same time? I haven't really paid attention to either one of them in my lifetime, but that's just me. On that note, before we get my man BH on, we're going to go into song of my other homie. This is Rod D, setting the mood, Jamaica.
Whoa! Greetings to Jamaica, the land of the moon and water. Don't own the mind of your MC. It's for you and me. Check it.
Rasty from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Peter Tosh from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Bob Marley from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Me love, me say me love sweet Jamaica. Best coffee from Jamaica.
Yeah.
The white one from Jamaica.
Yeah.
The best ganja from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Me say me love sweet Jamaica. Motto. How many we are one? The first people, the Awawak Indian. The British then come and take over the land. Plus then we ma got an empire gang. So they make a deal, me say to the motherland. They saw them just capture me say, ah, black man. This part come to the Caribbean. The slave for the sugar, sugar plantation. Motherfucker be from Jamaica.
Yeah.
This man and he from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Chafal Boga from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Buster man, this come from Jamaica. The great culture from Jamaica,
yeah.
Emmanuel from Jamaica,
yeah.
Samsa from Jamaica,
yeah.
The best backside come from Jamaica. Tourists go, me say tourists come. Tell you where them love and just the reggae jam down. The good sense in me and the burning sun. I want everybody, me say you want have fun. I listen reggae music to the maximum. I listen what's the up and it might be can done. Cause anytime me come, me just a lyrics on me tongue. And anytime me come, I say the good vibes can come. Come here, this I wanna eat you just like a bomb. Rasty from Jamaica,
yeah.
And you touch from Jamaica,
yeah.
So Bob Marley from Jamaica,
yeah.
Me just love, love sweet Jamaica. Batman from Jamaica,
yeah.
Sexy girl from Jamaica,
yeah.
The best bubbler from Jamaica,
yeah.
Me just love, me love sweet Jamaica. Oh, what a beautiful place to be. You can wash off your heart with a coconut jelly. You have gone while make a sex and so we. In a center now where you find OG. I don't swim and you can wash your natty. Eat some fried fish and you eat some bami. The national dish is all fish and aki. In and the money with some good soul city. Let's go pay the players that will pay listen to me. Rasty from Jamaica,
yeah.
Reggae music from Jamaica,
yeah.
Bad Marley from Jamaica,
yeah.
Me just love, me love sweet Jamaica. The best coffee from Jamaica,
yeah.
So white one from Jamaica,
yeah.
The best ganja from Jamaica,
yeah.
Me just love, love sweet Jamaica. Motto, Tamini be a one. The first people, the Awawak Indian. The British then come and take over the land. Plus then we ma got an empire gang. So they make a sale to the motherland. And they saw them go capture me say all black man. And this bad some to the Caribbean. The sea up and the sugar, sugar plantation. Reggae music from Jamaica,
yeah.
The bass backside from Jamaica,
yeah.
Marcus Gabby from Jamaica,
yeah.
Sister Nani Yossi come from Jamaica. Paul Bogle from Jamaica,
yeah.
Buster Manti from Jamaica,
yeah.
Jamaica Manley from Jamaica,
yeah.
And I be here, we come from Jamaica. Tourists come, it's a tourist come. Tell you where them love and dusty reggae jam down. You could send to me and the burning sun. Watch everybody, me say you want have fun. Reggae music for the maximum. And I watch all the people that run around come. Because reggae music from Jamaica,
yeah.
Jamal Marley from Jamaica,
yeah.
Peter Tosh from Jamaica,
yeah.
Me just love, come and me love sweet Jamaica.
Together you
got
to
move.
Together you got to move.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Ross D, Jamaica. Yeah, I love that song. That song gets me hyped every time. Now we got hyped up and ready to go. Get my main man on the phone. Now, we're going to start talking about some comic book stuff. So if you ain't a nerd, this might not be the conversation for you.
Hello, good night.
Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama.
Good night, good night, good night.
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, man. Cold. Real cold.
Is it cold down there?
It's cold as a mother right now.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't think it got cold down in Jamaica.
Yep, it does. It does. Hot in the days, cold in the nights.
All right, well, hey, it's cold here too, so. Even.
Yeah, the great equalizer, the cold.
Yeah, well, I always try to tell people, you know, black folks, we not built for the cold.
And that's it, the truth.
Not built for the cold. It don't even matter. Anything below 60, that's not my speed.
Trust me. Yep, we were made for the hot,
yes,
places, but not the cold.
Yes. All right. So let me ask you this, Mayor. Why World of Black Heroes? What made you put that together? Again,
okay, World of Black Heroes. Well, that came about from just how, oh man, how do I even phrase it? Yeah, it came about from being tired of how mainstream comic book sites cover characters in general.
Right.
Because it's a bunch of white dudes talking about Superman and Captain America.
Right.
Incessantly. Like, yeah, these are the greatest things to ever be made, as two-dimensional as they are.
Right.
And I was like, where is the coverage of us, whether it's written by us, for us, or just us?
Right.
So I decided, okay, fine, let's just try this thing. It started out first on Facebook around last year, May. Well, actually started before that. I started compiling a list of all the black characters throughout comic books that I have knowledge of or that I could actually find on the internet.
Right.
And I ended up having a list of about 800 plus black characters.
That's about right.
And then checking all the mainstream websites, they had no information in terms of their origins, who created them, first appearance. None of that's there. Because, of course, they ain't white.
Right.
And apparently, if you're not white, you're not relevant. So.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's been a problem in the past. Now, let me ask you this. Growing up as a comic book guy, you know, I know I grew up as a comic book guy also. Who were your favorite heroes growing up?
Growing up? Oh, man. Probably, as sad as it sounds, Superman is probably the first person that springs to mind. I mean, the Christopher Reeves movies were good for the most part, and they were very out there. They were very popular.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, for anybody who was into comic books like myself, anything that had anything to do with any kind of comic book, super anything, was all over it.
Yep.
Even though Superman the comic book has sucked to me forever.
It has.
It does. The only
flat, two-dimensional thing you've ever conceived.
Yeah.
I don't get the appeal, but hey, I'm not one of the millions buying it every month, so.
Yeah, I mean,
they're the minority.
Yeah, you got like three or four Superman comics, and it's just they're boring. It's like Superman's like one of the boring characters, but ironically, I watch Smallville on TV. And
oh man, you are Smallville.
It's not that. I have to admit, I do watch it. I'm drawn to superhero stuff, man. What can I say? I can't.
Well,
I'm a sci-fi guy.
And you don't have a whole lot of options, so.
Well, we got a lot more options now. I mean, I know you probably tuned in and watched a few episodes of Young Justice.
I'm a huge fan of Young Justice. Huge fan. Not just because, well, it has kind of like a black lead, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
It's animated well. It's grittier than, say, the Avengers cartoon written by Chris Yost.
Yeah.
No, that is kind of campy. And it's weird because Chris is well known throughout, you know, comics as the dude who kills a lot. He's like a mass murderer.
Right. Mass murderer.
I mean, when you throw Chris Yost on a book, people are going to die. They're going to die painfully. And when he picked up new X-Men, didn't he like blow up a whole busload of kids?
I think that was
not no.
That was actually Brian Michael Bendis who wrote the when the Scarlet Witch said no more mutants, and then all of a sudden they went from like 500 million mutants to like 8.
Oh man, well the X-Men books as well is another big problem. I mean, they started out being the place where you could have like niche characters, a whole bunch of black characters, and then after a while, especially in like the last 2-3 well last 4 years, if you're black you're kind of screwed if you're in the X-Men. I'm
trying to think, aside from Storm, what, there was the dude that had the wood, her nephew or something like that, the wood that come out of his arms or whatever.
The wood? I don't even know who the hell that is.
Yeah, it's a character, a black character, the X-Men. He was a younger character. I don't know if it was wood or bones or something like that he could throw.
Ah. I hate him passionately. He was in the X-Men Evolution.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Spike, he was like a poor man's Marrow. Because in the comic, the original concept was Marrow, and she was another killer. And apparently for the cartoon, they had to, you know, tone her down significantly.
Oh, so they made her up.
She became that thing that was Spike. Yeah.
Well, speaking of comic book writers, as you know, last month we lost Dwayne McDuffie, one of the influential guys who created milestone characters or helped create the milestone characters like Icon, Static Shock, Hardware, Blood, Syndicate. And I don't know, had you ever met Mr. McDuffie?
Well, I have spoken to Mr. McDuffie a few times. I've been trying to. Oh, man. It's probably one of the big tragedies of my career thus far. I've been trying to get an interview with McDuffie since last year, September.
Mm.
And our schedules just wouldn't allow us. I even sent him the questions for the interview.
Yeah.
And it just never happened.
Well, I mean, maybe it's because he was in ill health. And
well, that explains it, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that explains it, no, but it's bad losing him, you know, especially at a time like this, because his characters had finally gotten into mainstream continuity.
Yeah, well,
this was a time when his characters should be popping up everywhere.
Yeah, I actually talked to him at the Comic-Con. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, when they announced that the milestone characters would be integrated into the DC universe. And so he was excited. He didn't look ill health, but I guess you can't look at somebody and they just, I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow. I mean, he was young also.
Yeah, I think he died like, a couple of days after his birthday.
Yeah, he was like 48. He was not old at all.
Yeah, it's one of the worst things to happen in recent years, man.
Dude was a great writer. I mean, obviously he created the milestone characters, wrote Justice League, wrote the great cartoon Justice League Unlimited. I mean,
yeah, and he wrote Ben 10. I think he was also scheduled to
Right.
I think a few Young Justice episodes, he was everywhere. Okay. All-Star Superman came out, I think, a couple of days or was it a week before?
Yeah, it came out last Tuesday.
Yeah. So he was huge. I mean, you really can't get bigger than him in terms of personality in the comic book world.
Yeah.
He was the person.
And he was. And he will be missed.
Trust me. He has no idea. I don't think he realized the impact that he had on the industry as a whole. Because a lot of his ideas and concepts, they were revolutionary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going through Blood Syndicate again at this point, and he has, what was the name? Masquerade. There's a character there named Masquerade who, probably as a kid, I didn't understand the complexity of Masquerade, but Masquerade is like the first transgendered black superhero, because it was actually a girl who, due to the events that gave them their superpower, she gained shape-shifting abilities and she chose to live her life as a man, because as far as she was concerned, you know, she's always been a dude. It's just that now her outside can match her inside. Mm-hmm. I was like, how the hell did you get them to publish something like this in the 90s?
Well, you got to remember, they actually were the publishers. They wrote their own story. So when you can write your own stories, you know, you control your image, you control what you put out there. I mean, that was the whole point of Milestone. Unfortunately,
yeah.
They didn't have the distribution and the sales to keep going. But, you know, I mean, Rocket from Icon, she had a baby and was a superhero at the same time. Another one of those themes that generally didn't get discussed.
Yeah, but even Rocket herself, as you were saying, even by today's standards, she is revolutionary because there's never been anybody else like her.
Yeah, teenage pregnant superhero?
No, that doesn't happen. They pretend that, you know, teenagers don't hump. They probably do more than, you know, other grown-ass folks, but...
No! Come on, are you serious? Teenagers having sex? No. That does not happen.
How the hell does that happen? The only other character I can think of who almost was in the same vein as Rocket was, I think, Stephanie Brown. Spoiler, she's from the Batman line of books. She was Robin for a while. She was Spoiler. She got pregnant, except she gave the baby up for adoption, whereas Rocket actually kept the baby
right.
And continued to do all of her stuff. So
yeah.
She's still, Rocket is still the only, the first and the only teenage pregnant, well, can't say pregnant now, can I?
Right. Well,
but you know.
Have a child.
First.
Well,
yeah.
you know what? I always, and it was one of the things that I anticipated, well, hope would happen, like your Icon would join the Justice League and get integrated, because I saw that they integrated Static Shock into the new Teen Titans, but I thought that Rocket would have been in that group also. I thought Rocket was perfect for the Teen Titans.
Well, the problem that the Milestone characters are still going to run in, and I don't know how things are going to happen now with McDuffie out of the picture, but when Gail Simonson was writing Wonder Woman, she wanted to actually include Rocket. She planned to actually write Rocket into the story, but DC wouldn't allow her to. Because, of course, you know, the red tape of who owns the rights to the characters and all that jazz. So they're still going to run into that, where, yeah, they're in continuity, but they'll still only be used sparsely.
Yeah, which I think is sad. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why we had Black Vulcan instead of Black Lightning in the Super Friends because of that same conflict of rights or whatever. They didn't want to pay some guy for the rights of a character, so they made up a terrible character and put it out there.
Yeah, a pale imitation.
Yes. Black Vulcan! I don't think he ever said, like, three words.
That's everything with him, man.
They him, Apache Chief, and the Asian cat that did the tornadoes.
Yeah, they were just token.
Yeah.
They were so token, they were token. I mean, come on.
I mean, at least token, they just flew across the screen. That was it.
Yep, that was pretty much it.
So, I mean, and I think that is telling that now that we're talking to you and you have the site, and like you cited, there are 800 characters. But for the most part, I mean, I probably can guess that I can name more than half of those characters, but it's actually sad that a lot of the population has no idea about.
That's true.
Even a tenth of, I mean, because I don't think any kids can name 80 characters.
I don't even know if some could name five.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as some people are concerned, John Stewart, you know, Green Lantern from the Justice League cartoon, he's the only black superhero that's ever existed.
Well, no, Static Shock had a nice run on Cartoon Network.
Well, that's true. I have to give Static his props.
Static Shock was very popular. I was surprised that show went off the air. It was very popular and did good numbers.
It did.
You know, which probably was one of the reasons why they put that in.
Yeah. Yeah, Static gets a lot of play in terms of DC right now because of the popularity of the cartoon itself, because of the comic. It's weird because in Milestone, back in the day, Static was one of the series which I picked up, as in it didn't click with me. I was more connected to what was happening in Icon, you know, the
right. Black
stuff that was happening there, and even the hardware. Hardware, after a while, I got into that when you thought about his work situation.
Yeah.
Oh, he's made a bunch of money for these people, and, you know, he's basically expendable.
Yeah.
Connected to those, that, you know, this teenager going through what Static was going through, but apparently it was popular enough to springboard into a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that cartoon, as you said, was huge. And that led to him being included in the Teen Titans, and he's going to have his own series. I mean, so he's doing things that the rest of Milestone just has not been able to.
But and you know what's funny? I was like you. I was more into the Icon. I mean, I was a huge Icon guy. I mean, I can honestly say my favorite comic book, the funniest comic book that I've ever read, is I think Icon number 32 or number 33, where they have the funeral of Buckwild.
Ah, yeah.
That, to me, is the funniest comic ever written. I don't know if you've ever read that one.
Well, I have it in the collection, but as I said, I'm going through the entire thing all over again, so I remember it right on top of my head right now, but I have it there.
Well, in that comic book, Buckwild, who was a parody of Luke Cage Power Man, Buckwild had been killed, and they had the funeral, and they had all the people there who he owed money, and they were all parodies of Marvel and DC stereotypical black superheroes.
Ah.
So I was like, that that was the funniest comic ever. And I was like, if ever I had a chance to do a cartoon or animation, I would want to do that book. Like, that book right there was like how I thought that me and all my friends, how we felt about some of those characters. Summed up in that one book.
Yep.
Now,
because, yeah.
Now, I was going to say, we want to get back on you now. Now, I read that you're a freelance writer. Tell us some of the stuff that you worked on.
Okay, I've worked on the Dread and Alive series with Nicolas Da Silva. I've worked for Comic Vine. I've done odds and ends on Wikipedia, because as you know, Wikipedia has terrible citations.
No.
Yeah, so I fixed pages there. I add references to make the articles, you know, work.
Right.
They're not just there. And other than that, I also have this reggae thing that I do. I started recently. I can't believe I don't remember the name of the website.
What's the thing that we're doing? Hold on, let's talk about the reggae thing we're doing.
Yeah, I have this new reggae project that I'm doing.
Okay.
I've only written like 2 articles, and don't ask me the name of the website. I'm too tired to remember, but I do remember.
Right.
If you're listening, I do appreciate the reggae job.
Yeah, let's hope that they weren't listening.
I mean, yeah. And along with that, I also have this, well, this project I'm working on for Reggie Hudlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the project you're working on for Reginald Hudlin?
Not currently.
Okay.
Not currently. And I also have 2 books that I'm writing.
All right, well, I know, speaking of the Reginald Hudlin, I picked up the Black Panther cartoon. I don't know, had you seen that?
I have seen it. I actually own the entire series that it's based on.
Right.
I actually have a blow-by-blow of the differences between the two. What did you think of the DVD?
I thought it was done well. I'm not a big fan of John Romita Jr.'s art, though, but that's just...
Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable. Everybody has their art style that they have a thing for. I thought his art lent itself well to a kind of a retro feel.
Yeah.
That worked well for that first arc.
Yeah, I mean, I can say honestly, I was not a huge fan of Reginald Hudlin's interpretation of the Black Panther moving forward when he made the sister the Black Panther, and I was not feeling that at all. And the direction that he's going in now, actually, I don't know if you follow Black Panther the comic. But
well, I follow Black Panther religiously. I literally own every series that he's ever been in.
Yeah, me too.
In terms of the Reginald Hudlin run, it's actually one of my, well, they have storylines in that run that I really like. I think the opening arc itself.
Which was
the Black Panther, which was what the DVD was based off of. I thought that was done well.
Yeah.
There are other storylines, including the marriage to Storm. I think leading up to that was done well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the marriage itself worked out the way everybody would have liked, since, you know, he has his fans, she has her fans. They kind of were expecting her to remain Storm.
Right.
But Storm has always been, you know, this strong, no-nonsense type of girl. And, of course, one of the big criticisms of his marrying her off is that she just became the trophy wife.
Yeah. I just thought they could have done more as far as, you know, you have Black Panther and Storm. You can merge them as a book and have them doing more as a team and running the kingdom and showing Wakanda and how it works and what success would look like as a nation. I mean, there was so much more that I thought that they could have done.
That's true. I agree with you there. The big problem, though, with Wakanda is that it's been isolated for a long time. So the depiction of xenophobia was pretty accurate. I mean, they don't mix with outsiders at all. So, of course, she was literally an outsider.
Right.
And she knew she was an outsider. And, of course, it was right around the time when they had lots of dissidents trying to, you know, take over at various points. So it was not the most comfortable situation for her. And it would have been even worse for her to go in there and say, you know, listen, people, I'm the queen. I run things. It's not like being in the X-Men.
Right.
You can't just stamp your authority there. So it put her in a very weird position. I think the best threats in terms of their marriage occurs when they actually take over the Fantastic Four, because they don't have to deal with Wakanda at all. So they are just this power couple out there in the world doing the heroics. Even though you don't like the depiction of Shuri taking over as Black Panther, what that did was free Storm and free T'Challa to do other things, which is what's happening now. In terms of him being this vigilante, I still think that's hogwash.
Right.
It's not logical for him to leave Wakanda because
right.
he's like Captain America.
Right. And
of
that
community.
Right.
He's not
well,
to just get up and leave at the worst possible time.
Right. You just had the Doom War. You just killed your country's technological advantage with the destroying of all the vibranium. And now all of a sudden you leave to go to New York? I wasn't feeling that. I didn't get it.
Yeah, that didn't flow logically from what was happening. Plus, remember, during Doom War, he had pioneered a new technology.
Yes.
Which, of course, I expected to become the new foundation of them.
Right.
And itself, because you just lost the thing that made you special. But now we realized the beauty about Doom War that I don't think a lot of fans got was that it removed Wakanda from being the vibranium place.
Right.
To literally being the place with the smartest people on Earth.
Yeah.
Because in the midst of losing the vibranium, they had pioneered a technology that nobody else had been able to do. Not Reed Richards, not Henry Pym, not Iron Man, nobody. They could do that.
Yeah, but
they no longer became the vibranium place. They became the brain place.
Yeah, but that. But, you know, it's good that we think that, but it was not followed up.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with the follow-up. The follow-up for Marvel has a big problem with Black Panther. Black Panther's numbers are not consistent. Black Panther fans, very finicky creatures. Even though they liked Christopher Priest's run,
loved it.
Numbers fell off. They still weren't buying it.
Yeah.
Hudlin had the numbers to carry it. And even Doom War boosted sales. And even sure becoming Black Panther boosted sales. But sales always dropped off. What I think Marvel needs to realize is that Black Panther is never going to be a big seller like a Captain America or an Uncanny X-Men. I have the sales figures on my website, and trust me, it's not that Black Panther goes back in terms of sales. On a good day, it can sell 50,000 copies per month religiously. On a bad month, it will dip anywhere from 18,000 to maybe 15,000. If you're going to compare those sales to X-Men, then of course the myth of black books don't sell comes about, because X-Men is mainstream. Let's face it. They're going to sell like 200,000 copies for the month. And that's on a bad month. So Marvel needs to just realize that, listen, this book is going to sell less than these other books, but it is still something that's viable. And the reason why it is viable is that independent sell less copies than this. And they can do it. Are you telling me that independents have found a magical way of selling 100 copies of their comic every single month, and they can keep it coming out? And Marvel can sell 15,000 copies or something, and they can't find a way to do it?
We know that it's all a marketing thing. I mean, obviously, numbers are whatever you market and push, Deadpool, you know, X-Men, characters like that, that I don't see. I mean, Deadpool to me is just like a dude with a messed up face that's copying off of Spider-Man. I thought Spider-Man told the jokes. but, you know, that goes back to marketing and understanding that, yeah, Black Panther, if you pushed him in the hood, Black Panther would do good. I mean, obviously, it would be something that would be appealing to all kids in the quote-unquote inner cities across the world.
That's true.
But it's not pushed that way.
Okay, but that's another thing that I want to bring up. Even though Black Panther isn't pushed and it doesn't get the publicity that these mainstream books do, it still has respectable sales. Doom War didn't get half the publicity that Siege did, but it still managed to sell over 40,000 copies each time. No publicity.
Siege sucked, by the way. I just want to say that. It is not, I mean, and it wasn't, I didn't get the whole Siege deal, but that's neither here nor there. We gotta go.
It was just a reason for Bendis to, you know, go on and on and on about
a character that nobody liked.
Yeah, that character. Yeah, I won't even mention his name.
Yeah,
him.
His Superman knockoff. So, before we go, let me ask you, what books are you working on, and what are your upcoming projects looking like? What we got happening? I seen on your site you were talking about how you got something good coming up. You, can we get a sneak peek?
Not currently. What I can tell you, though, is that coming in the next probably 2 weeks or so, I am in the process of getting a lot of black villains some spotlight on my website.
Okay.
Because people have been saying, you know, they have a lot of black superheroes. Yes, I keep spending time on them, but where are the black villains? I have a villain month coming up, which will be nothing but the villains, so they can look forward to that. And in terms of everything else that I'm working on, I'll let you know when it's closer to completion.
All right. Well, you know, when you come out with your books and you do your, when you're done with your special project that you're working on with Reginald Hudlin, feel free to hit me up, man. I want to have you come on and we can talk a taste on it.
No problem. And anytime you want me back on, I'm cool.
All right.
I'm always here to talk comics, man. All
right. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, guys, it was nice having me on.
All right, well, I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you for having your site, and keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, man. No problem.
Lila's watching you, man.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
All right. All right. Well, you have a good night, sir.
Good night.
All right. All right. That was my main man, BH, of worldofblackheroes.wordpress.com. Once again, if you want to get an update about a black superhero you heard of or never heard of, you want to find out something, worldofblackheroes.wordpress.com, that's the place to go. I promise you. Dude, I'm as comic book deep as they go, and I'm like learning stuff. I'm like, who? And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here, and I'll be right back.
As I smooth drama.
Yes, sir.
Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. But my man, DH, y'all know him as. And Butter. Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. He never says my name. What's wrong with saying Dick Hugger? It means F the N word. I keep saying it. People just have a problem with Dick. I thought everybody loved Dick. Gonna say Dick. Anyway. Oh. Now, speaking of dicks, you know, Peter then came out and they're like messing with Mike Tyson over his show. I don't know if anybody, Mike Tyson's got a show, and it's called, I think it's like Making Mike Tyson, and he's training pigeons and doing pigeon racing, whatnot. And PETA is jumping on him saying, oh, he shouldn't be doing that show and the pigeon racing. And I'm like, man, leave Mike Tyson alone. If you want to jump on somebody, jump on them fools that there's a show called Fatal Attractions. Now, I saw the commercial for this thing. Why I'm watching this, I have no idea. But the commercial, this woman who has three crocodiles that live with her. Now, crocodiles being one of the deadliest creatures on the face of the planet, one is way more than you should have in your house, and she's got three. I mean, PETA should be involved in that shit. Leave Mike alone. Mike is flying pigeons. Mike don't want to be out punching people in the face. I mean, leave Mike alone. I mean, you know what I mean? Y'all, of all the people, let Mike be. Mike is not posing a problem to society any longer. Knock on wood. Let it go. Jump on these Fatal Attraction folks. Jump on these folks who are getting these pets and releasing the pets out into the wild where they don't belong. You know, like Florida's got the, I've talked about it over and over again, they got the pythons. Now they're saying that people are getting cobras, and then they're getting too big and releasing them in places where they should not be released. Those are the people you need to go after, to not go after Mike Tyson. You know, we're going to have to jump on Peter. We're going to have to pull can whoop ass on Peter. Just saying, I'm looking out for my dude. And I don't know him, but I'm looking out. If you want to jump on somebody, jump on the judge who who was doing that, and it's not Judge. It was a whole system where these guys, and y'all know my policy, I don't want to say the guy's name because he's a low-life son of a bitch, but he was locking up kids because he had a deal with the juvenile facilities. And so he had been locking up kids, and then he got jailed for racketeering. And he got like $2.8 million in his Kids for Cash plot. Now, they would send the kids in the for-profit detention centers, which was owned by his friends, which is almost like slavery. You lock somebody up and send them to your homies, and they get a profit, and they cut you a check for locking these kids up. Which, for some folks, I don't understand how this didn't get the press that it didn't get. That didn't make sense, but it should have got more press. In other words, I mean, this guy is sending kids to jail just so he can line his pockets, which it seems like what the larger society is doing anyway. You know, nobody has a care. Now, there was a mother, Sandy Fonzo, who's jumping out on him. But, and not to denigrate her pain or anything, but it's like this is a national problem. We're quick to lock kids up. Hell, we're quick to lock anybody up just for the sake of locking them up so that you can get some money. I mean, we talk about juvenile facilities. I'm like, what's the figures for the guys going to jail? And we're talking about the jail system for adults. It's probably bigger than anybody wants to let on, which is probably one of the reasons why this story didn't get the pub that it should have. I mean, we all know the jail's a billion-dollar industry. And if you don't know, jails are billion-dollar industries. It's the reason why they're cutting all these schools, because they ain't making money off school. They're making money off kicking your kid out of school so that they can go to jail and make money and make mattresses and furniture and car parts and not get paid anything. That's the new indentured servitude here in America, on the low. I mean, I don't know how folks don't see correlation. Why we have the tax on the school system. Nobody cares about the kids any longer. They only care about the profits. We're on a whole nother level of profit-driven society. I mean, it's not even capitalism no more. It's fuck you, pay me-ism. If you don't think it's serious, think about it. Seriously. How you can be locked up. You can be charged. No charges can be brought against you, but you had to pay your bail anyway. Just a way to take your money, which seems like we're real good at taking poor folks' money, but somehow those in charge, we can't get at them for anything. That whole trickle-down economic. And on that note, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank my main man, BH, for taking the time, staying up past his curfew, to come on the show and talk comics with me. Y'all know me. I can talk comics every day, all day. I want to thank you all for listening. And that's it. I'm smooth. I am smooth. But I'm Dick Hugger. This is Smooth Drama. And we out. Just got to say one word. Two fingers. Oh, that's two words. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth drama.